Having been 40 for more than 6 months, I think I now have license to say, having lived on the other side of the hill, that it's not easy getting old. And the truth is, I've felt old for more than just the past 6 months. In truth, I probably started feeling it in my early 30s. I can remember Kara and I, we had done a lock-in with the youth group. That's when we kind of stay up all night with the kids here at church. And that morning after the all-nighter, as we're sending kids on their way, I remember turning to Kara and going, I am too old for this. Like, I cannot stay up all night anymore. I used to be able to when I was a teenager in my 20s, but man, this is too much. And that's the story of the last lock-in we ever did with the youth group, by the way. I was like, nope, we'll find something else fun to do with the kids. But I was regretting it for like the whole next week. I couldn't catch up on my sleep because even then, I was an old man. Or in my mid-30s, I remember, again, the youth group especially does help me feel old. It was a September one fall, and we're just talking with the kids, and it had been the anniversary of September 11th, and so a number of us leaders were just sharing kind of where we were when September 11th happened, and we're talking to the kids, and I realized that none of the kids that we were talking to had even been born on September 11th, that moment that was so etched in my memory that I will always remember. They weren't even born yet. And I tell you what, that makes a man feel old. And I certainly felt old even a couple weekends ago when we were out on vacation. We'd been going out. One day we went down to Florida and we're doing the amusement parks and stuff like that. And I started to feel a little bit under the weather. And it's good that I was feeling old in this case, because instead of saying, I'll go out, I'll power through it, which is what I would have always done when I was younger, I said, no, I'm an old man. I'm just going to hang out in the hotel and try and feel better, which is good because it turned out I had COVID that I picked up as an unwanted souvenir on vacation. But again, like, I never would have done that before. Adam in his 20s would have said, I'm just going to keep going. I'll figure it out later. But gotten older, just getting used to those things. And here's the thing. As I'm sharing about my experiences getting older and what I've learned, I am well aware of the fact that the majority of you listening to me are going, kiddo, you don't know nothing yet. I get it. We all have a little something to learn about getting older and what that entails. And honestly, that's something we're going to be studying together today in Psalm 71. We're going to be picking up our summer in the Psalms, something we do every summer. We take some time and just study the Psalms. And we're going to be in Psalm 71 today. And this is a unique psalm. And in a lot of ways, Psalm 71 is like many other psalms you may have studied. It's one in which that the author faces a time of difficulty and calls out to the Lord for deliverance. And as he turns his heart to the Lord, comes to the assurance that the Lord is faithful and good and will watch over him through this time of trouble. But what's unique and so different about Psalm 71 is that this psalm is written from the perspective of, how to put this, a wizened Christian, a more seasoned saint. He will use the word in the psalm, so it's not wrong for me to say it, an old person, from someone that is old and gray, and what it's like for them to go through this time of trouble and distress before the Lord. And I share that with you up front so that you can even keep an eye and an ear out for it as we work together through Psalm 71. We'll read through it together, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about just kind of three lessons we can learn, both old and young, from Psalm 71 and a wizened, seasoned senior saint. He writes these words, picking up in Psalm 71, verse 1. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him. No one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered in scorn with disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God, you who have done great things. Who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. These are the words of the psalmist in Psalm 71. And as you can tell from just looking at it in your Bible or hearing me read through it, there's too much psalm here for us to go verse by verse through the whole thing. Instead, I want to just pick out a few key themes that we see throughout this psalm, again, focusing on this wisdom from a senior seasoned saint. And the first lesson we can learn from this seasoned saint is that only one person determines the value of your life, and that is God. Only one person determines the value of your life, and that is God. In our psalm, the psalmist is clearly facing a time of difficulty. He says in verse 2, rescue me, deliver me in your righteousness, turn your ear towards me and save me. But for the psalmist, there is an added level that comes from being older. And in their culture, in their time, well, the elderly weren't always revered. Again, they lived in an agrarian culture. And if you think about it, that an agrarian culture is a nice way of saying a farming culture. It's a culture where most of your life is spent trying to work the land so that you can have food to eat. But think about it for a moment. What happens to a person that, well, doesn't have the strength to go out and work in the heat? What happens to a person who can't go out and till the soil? What happens to a person whose joints don't work so that they can even stay in and mend and sew? What happens to a person that can't go out and help people get food or run the farm and eat? Well, in their culture, some people viewed people like that basically as a waste of space, a waste of food. You've got nothing to add, and you are a drain on the limited resources that we do have. And so in that culture at that time, people that couldn't add to the value, to the worth, to help bring in the food for the family, sometimes were basically pushed off as as worthless. And the enemies of the psalmist, they see that. That's what they believe about him. He says, my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. In verse 11, they say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. This guy is old and washed up. There's not going to be anybody that cares about him. None of his friends, none of the people around him are going to care about him. God's not going to care about him. What does he have to give God? Now, his best years are behind him. Now is our time to strike. And this is something that the psalmist is wrestling with. We can even see it in his words. Verse 9. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. He's saying, God, don't let your attitude towards me be the same as those around me that says, he's old, he's weak, he's worthless. And we can say, well, we live in a different time and we live in a different place, and that is all true, praise the Lord. But I will say this. It's interesting, if you talk to people on the other side of retirement, how they're viewed by the people around them, by our culture, by our society as a whole. In a lot of ways, we do tend to write off people that are no longer a part of the workforce. In a lot of ways, our culture does write off people in terms of, well, what do they have to offer? What do they have to give? Why don't you just go off and do your own thing in a retirement center somewhere? Or why don't you just go off to like one of those exclusive like 65 and years and older communities that they have, where like you can just do your thing and we don't have to worry about you or be bothered about you. You just go do your thing. You talk to seniors and those that are retired about what happens after they cross that threshold. It's amazing. All those people that needed to hear from them at work and needed that wisdom and knowledge they had, they don't really come calling anymore. Even though they've got a lifetime of knowledge and insight, it's like all of a sudden, since you're not working anymore, it's not worth anything anymore. Or, I mean, even if you look at our culture as a whole, they really don't make television shows for those that are retired. They don't make music for those that are retired. They'll say, well, make do with the oldies that you've got and like it. The only thing they're willing to sell you is medication and medical supplies of all sorts. But that's about it. Like, that's what our culture sees the seniors as good for. And that's not the case. Again, there's this reminder in this psalm that this is what the psalmist comes to understand, that only one person determines the value and worth of your life, and that is God. It doesn't matter if the other people think you don't have anything to add, think your best days are behind you, think your strength is gone, you're too old and gray to have anything to offer. God can have a different perspective. At the end of the psalm, he comes to this understanding, starting in the second half of verse 20. He says, God, you will bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. And I love that last part too. He doesn't just say, you will comfort me, you will deliver me from this time. He says, God, you will increase my honor. As in, God, you are not done with me. God, you are not putting me out to pasture. God, you still have good things planned for me. Even though I'm old and gray, even though my strength isn't what it once was, God, you still have plans for me. And I know we've talked about this some together, but it's always worth reminding that age is not a limiting factor for God. We sometimes view it that way. We sometimes think, oh, well, you know, once you get so old, you can't do these things. You can't teach. You can't work with kids. You can't be involved. But well, Abram, when he was called into service, he was in his 70s. When Moses was called to lead God's people out of Egypt, he was in his 80s. God is not limited by age, and nobody, no matter how old they are, should ever think that their life is worthless, that they don't have anything to give back to God and his kingdom. Don't buy into that falsehood of a culture as a whole. Understand that if you have one more day in this world, then you have one more day that God wants you to have. and that God has meaning and purpose for every single one of those days, whatever it might be, as he calls you into service for his kingdom. Only one person gets to determine the worth of your life, and that is God and heaven. And if he has given you this day and the next day, it is for a reason. And the psalmist comes to terms with that truth and knows that God will deliver him, and God still has good things planned ahead of him. Your best days could come after you retire, after you're 65 or 70 or 75 or 80 or 85. There are no limits to what God can and will do. And that's worth wrapping our heads and hearts around, whatever our age might be. So that's the first lesson we can learn from the psalmist in Psalm 71, that only one person gets to determine the worth and value of your life, and that is God. The second is a lesson to be learned from the psalmist, and that is to learn to take refuge in God. Learn to take refuge in God. And this is one of those things that I think the psalmist knows and understands, but maybe those of us that are younger can come to terms with and wrap our heads and hearts around as well. This idea of taking refuge in God is a huge theme, especially in the introductory portion of our psalm. O Lord, in you I have taken refuge. Be my rock and my refuge. Deliver me, God. You have been my hope. You are my refuge. And here's the interesting thing. It's not like the psalmist didn't know God or trust God before. He says in verse 6, from birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. The psalmist has known God and trusted God all of his life. But here's the thing. When we are younger, and I will speak as someone that is a bit younger, I feel like we rely on God. And when I say we rely on God, I mean this. We're young. We've got energy. We've got strength. We've got moxie. We're going to go out there and we are going to take the world by storm. We will say, God, I need your help with this problem with my family. I need your help with this problem at work. I need your help with this problem with my kids. God, help me. God, give me guidance. God, support me. God, strengthen me. But in general, as we are younger and we've got the strength, it's, God, will you help me as I go and do this thing? But what happens when you get older and you don't have the strength and you don't have the moxie, you don't have the energy? What happens when your back doesn't work the way it used to? When everything takes you, you know, 5, 6, 7 times longer? When everything you do takes more energy out of you, well, all of a sudden you can't have that attitude in the same way where it was, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do it myself and I've got God as my backup, so let's go tackle the world. First of all, that should never be our attitude. God's not our backup by any means. But when we're younger, that's often how we feel. That's often our approach. I've got the energy. I've got the strength. I can do it. I want God there to help me. But as you get older, and I think those of you that are older can verify this for me, that you have to learn that all of a sudden now there's things you can't do that you used to be able to do. And all of a sudden you aren't as capable as you used to be. And when that happens, you have to take refuge in God more and more and more. Here's the interesting thing about refuge, because that's the major image for God as you come into the beginning of this psalm. Do you know how a refuge works? You go and you stand in it. You do nothing in a refuge except shelter. That's how a refuge is. If you're around in buildings around here, you'll find place of refuge in case of storm, right? What do you do if a storm comes? You go inside and you stand there and you trust it to protect you. That's the image of a refuge that we even have until still today. Well, guess what? That's the imagery that the psalmist is using. He's not saying, God, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to get these guys. I'm going to get even. I'm going to take vengeance on my foes. It's not like David when he's talking about going out there to conquer his enemies. Listen, this is a guy who knows, listen, my best days in terms of my strength and my power to go out there and do that, they're well behind me. God, I can't do this on my own. I've got to take refuge in you. I have to trust in you for this. I can't rely on my strength because it's gone anyways, even if I had it. So God, as I face this, I have to seek refuge in you and you alone. And that's something that I think a seasoned saint has to teach those of us that are younger. That's a lesson we should all know and embrace before we get to that time when we can't trust anything but God. But I think when you get older and you don't have the strength and you don't have the ability and you don't necessarily have the understanding because the world's confusing and moving faster and everything's so different and you have to trust in God more fully. Something we should have done when we were younger, but we substituted our strength for the Lord's. But as you get older, you learn more and more and more to take refuge in God. It's our second lesson from our seasoned saint in Psalm 71. The first, again, only one person determines the value, the worth of your life, and that is God. The second, being learned to take refuge in God. And the third is this: declare God to the next generation. Declare God to the next generation. The incredible importance in declaring God to the next generation. Listen to the words of the psalmist again, picking up here in verse 15. He says this: my mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will proclaim and proclaim your mighty acts. O sovereign Lord, I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me. And to this day, I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Hear that verse again, verse 18. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, until I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. That is the desire of the psalmist. That is what's at his heart. Not let me get vengeance, not let me win, not make me healthy and wealthy and proud and successful, but ultimately he says, God, just carry me through because I want to declare you, your righteousness, your goodness to the next generation. That is at the heart of the psalmist's desire. As many of you may know, over the past number of years, I've had the pleasure of being a part of, and I don't know how it ended up called this. Maybe one of you guys can tell me. It's the Old Guys Bible Study. I do feel like Ed List might have been the one that named it. I don't know that I came up with Old Guys Bible Study, but it's the Old Guys Bible Study. And we get together and we work through the scriptures and we talk together. And I tell you what, I've loved being a part of it because I'm with a bunch of guys that are older than me, that have a different perspective, different outlook on life. And lately we've been working through the Bible from beginning to end, and it's been interesting to get their perspective. We'll come to the passages that talk about struggling with jealousy and wanting and materialism and the things of this world. And as I talk to the guys about it, by and large, they'll usually say this: yeah, you know, I struggled with those things when I was younger. Wanting to, you know, have the new car, wanting to have the bigger house, wanting to go on the fancy vacations. But as I grow older, those things matter less and less. As they've grown older, that desire to have, to get, to store up the things of the world matters less and less to them. They come to understand more and more the truth of Ecclesiastes that says all is vanity. All those pursuits that you think will bring you fulfillment, will think you bring you meaning and importance in this life, they all fall short. And they've all seen that and learned that and matured beyond that. And so then my next follow-up question is, well, what does matter? What is important to you? And you know what I hear time and time again? The next generation. It's my kids, my grandkids, my nieces and nephews. investing in them, seeing them understand God and know Him and love Him, that is what's important to me. And that is a lesson that I think all of us could probably learn a little bit sooner if we'd take the time to do so. The importance of declaring God to the next generation. What is valuable and important in pursuing in this life is not getting and having and keeping and storing up more stuff. I was talking to somebody this morning, I've done a good number of funerals here at Grace Bible Church over the years. And you know what? As I've walked with senior saints in those later years of their life, I've never had anybody say to me, Pastor, a bigger TV. I just wish I'd had a bigger TV all those years. A convertible. I wish I'd have just had a Mustang convertible with that flat top, all that. It's never come up. You know, when I talk to people that are later in life, those things, again, they don't matter. I think as people grow older, they see these things with more clarity that those things of the world are just that. They are things of the world. They're not what's important. They're not what's going to give meaning and value and worth to your life. It's investing in others. It's investing in the kingdom of God. It's declaring God to the next generation. That's what's going to leave a lasting legacy. That's what's important. And don't wait until you're 65 or 75 or 85 to learn that lesson. Learn the importance of it now. It's not a new lesson. Jesus Christ himself said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And the way you do that is by investing in others, by declaring the greatness of God to the next generation, to those around you. That's what has worth. That's what has meaning. That's what's worth pursuing in this life, not the things of this world. It's a lesson that all of us could learn from senior seasoned saints like the one in Psalm 71. And again, the sooner we learn it, I think, the better for us and the kingdom of heaven as well. And so there you have it. Three lessons from a seasoned saint. Whether you're old, or you're getting older, or you hope to be old one day. Hopefully there are lessons that all of us can take value and worth from. Only one person determines the value of your life. Learn to take refuge in God and declare God to the next generation. O-L-D. Would you bow with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for Psalm 71. We don't often think about the age of those that are recording the passages of Scripture that you've given to us. But Lord, in this psalm, you saw fit to record for us the perspective specifically of someone that's older. Someone that has been through the rigors and difficulties and trials of life and that wanted to pass on that wisdom and knowledge. And Lord, we do ask that we would take it to heart. We ask that we would understand that you are the one that determines the worth of our life, not our culture, not our age. We ask, Lord, that all of us would learn to take refuge in you, not just rely on you, Lord, but really seek your strength beyond our own. And Lord, we ask that all of us would have a heart that seeks to invest in those beyond us, that seeks to declare your goodness, your righteousness to the next generation. We pray these things in the name of your Son, and by the power of your Spirit. Amen.
Let's stand together and end our service.